भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम sixth canto chapter 9 the appearance of the demon Vritrasura text 52 saha va adigataha dadyan ashvibhyam brahma nishkalam yatva Ashvashiraha Nama Tayoho Amaratam Vyadhat Sava Adigato Dadyan Ashvibhyam Brahmanishkalam Yadva Ashvashiro Nama Tayor Anaratam Vyadha Sava Adigato Dadyan Ashvibhyam Brahmanishkalam Yadva Ashva Shiro Namo Tayor Anaratam Vyadhat Sava adigato dadyan Ashvibhyam brahmanishkalam Yadva ashvashiro nama Tayor amaratam vyadat Sava adigato dadyan Brahma Tayora Naratam Vyada Vadigato dadyan Brahma Nishkalam Ladies. What do you get all that young? I'm born in Mishka. I'm Brahmanishkalam Ashvashramama Amaratam Vyada Saha He Va Certainly Adigataha Having obtained Dadyam Dadyamsha Ashvibhyam The two Ashvini Kumaras Brahma Spiritual knowledge Nishkalam Pure Yadva by which Ashvashiraha Ashvashira Nama named Tayoho of the two Amaratam liberation in one's life Vyadat awarded. Translation, the saintly Dadyancha, who is also known as Dadhichi, personally assimilated the spiritual science and then delivered it to the Ashvini Kumaras. It is said that Dadyancha gave them mantras through the head of a horse. Therefore, the mantras are called Ashvashira. After obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from Dadhichi, the Ashvini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta, liberated even in this life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The following story is narrated by many acharyas in their commentaries. We'll read the Sanskrit. And then we'll read the English. Nisham ya taravanam duksham pravargya brahmavidyayoho tadyancham samupagamya tam uchatur ata tashvino. Bhagavan dehi no vidyam iti shrutva sacha bravit kamani avastito dhyayham paschad vakshami gachchatam tayor nirgatayor eva shakra agatyatam munim uvacha bishajor vidyam mavadir ashvinor mune yadi mad vakyam ulangya bravishi sahasaiva te shiras chindyayam nasandeha iti uktvasa yayo harihi indre gate tatabhyetya nasatyav uchatur dvijam tanmukyad indragaditam shrutvatav uchatur punaha avam tava shiras chitva purvam ashvasya maskatam sandhasyavastato bruhi tena vidyam chano dvija tasmin indrena sanchine puna sandhaya maskatam mastakam nijam te dakshinam datva gamishyavo yatagatam etach trutva tadovacha tadyan ata atarvanashtayo pravargyam brahmavidyam cha satkrito satya shankitaha. The great saint Dadhichi had perfect knowledge of how to perform fruitive activities, and he had advanced spiritual knowledge as well. Knowing this, the Ashvini Kumaras once approached him and begged him to instruct them in spiritual science brahmavidya. Dadhichi Muni replied, I am now engaged in arranging sacrifices for fruitive activities. Come back sometime later. When the Ashvini Kumaras left, Indra, the king of heaven, approached Dadhichi and said, My dear Muni, the Ashvini Kumaras are only physicians. Please do not instruct them in the spiritual science. If you impart the spiritual science to them, despite my warning, I shall punish you by cutting off your head. End quote. After warning Dadhichi in this way, Indra returned to heaven. The Ashvini Kumaras, who understood Indra's desires, returned and begged Dadhichi for brahmavidya. When the great saint Dadhichi informed them of Indra's threat, the Ashvini Kumaras replied, Let us first cut off your head and replace it with the head of a horse. You can instruct brahmavidya through the horse's head, And when Indra returns and cuts off that head, we shall reward you and restore your original head, end quote. Since Tadichi had promised to impart Brahmavidya to the Ashwini Kumaras, he agreed to their proposal. Therefore, because Tadichi imparted Brahmavidya through the mouth of a horse, this Brahmavidya is also known as Ashvashira. Sagva adigato dadyam ashvibhyam brahmanishkalam yadva ashva shiro nama tayor amaratam vyadat. So this is not so, shall we say, distant, even in modern science. There is changing of different parts of the body, taking a liver from one body or a heart from one body and putting it into another body. This is going on even today. And there are even instances of taking certain organs from monkeys and putting them in humans. Did you know that? Yes. Yes. It's going on. And it works. Are there any other organs that are taken from animals and put in human bodies that work that anyone knows of? Pig's heart has been put in a human and it worked? To replace the valves. Okay, so this is not so unusual that one part of an animal would be placed onto another part of a human. Because after all, this body is just a machine. Yantra Rudhani Maya. It's nothing more than a machine. And you can take parts, if you go to a junkyard, or shall we say a salvage place, you find that you may take even some parts from another vehicle that's a different model, and it still may fit a little bit of, squeezing and turning. It may fit and still work. Maybe not quite as good, but it works. So this body is a machine. And someone might say, yes, but the head. Well, they had more advanced. The Ashwini Kumaras are not ordinary physicians. They're physicians from the heavenly realm. And they knew how to even transplant heads and put the head of a horse on. Ashwini Kumaras. There was another instance with the Ashwini Kumaras to show you how truly advanced in medical science they were. There was a sage called Shobari Muni, and he was meditating underwater. He was a yogi. He was meditating underwater in Vrindavan, in the Jamuna River. And he had made some offense to Garudaji. No one should make offenses to Garudaji. But he made an offense to Garudaji. He cursed Garuda. That was a big offense. You don't curse a Vaishnava like Garuda. But he did. So as a result of that curse, he became polluted with material desires. And the material desire manifested. The material desire was there, but when he was underwater, he happened to notice the copulation of fish. And noticing that copulation of fish, the pollution of his material desire came out. And therefore he manifested, he thought, of the pleasure that must be derived from the fish. And he was thinking, if I could also experience some pleasure like that with union with a female. Well, in order to do that, he had to come out of the water. So he came out of the water broke his meditation, everything. And he approached King Mandhata. And Mandhata had 50 wives, 50 daughters, if I'm not mistaken. And so, but just imagine now, Shobari Muni had been living as a yogi. He's very old, and he'd been living underwater. Everyone knows what happens to your skin when you're underwater for a long time. So he was not very attractive. Old yogi, as well as wrinkled and waterlogged, so to speak. So he asked the king for the hand of one of his daughters. Well, the king, you know, these are beautiful princesses. He had daughters, and he didn't think any of them would be interested. But he didn't want to say no, because if he said no, then he might get cursed. And a curse by such a yogi could be devastating. So he said, my daughters are allowed to choose whoever they like as a husband. But Shobari Muni knew that they're not going to choose me if I look like this. So he summoned the Ashwini Kumaras. He's a yogi after all. He contacted them, and he proposed to them that if you arrange for me to have a beautiful, young, handsome body, I will arrange for you to be able to drink somaras, which is normally not given to physicians like you, but you will be able to drink that and get immortality, or at least you will be able to live a very, very long time. So they were interested in this proposal, and so they did it. They had one lake or some vat of water or vat of some kind of liquids, and they said, let's dip into it. So they dipped in with Shobari, and they all three came out looking like wonderful, young, beautiful men, handsome men. And then they went to am I mixing this up with another story? I think I am. I think I'm mixing this with a different story. Sukanya, excuse me for that. So this story, leave out the part of the going together. Well, that's also of the Ashwini Kumaras. And that's with Sukanya. That's another, so anyway, they gave him that benediction, and he came out looking very handsome. And so at that point, the 50 daughters of King Mandhata, they became very attracted to him, and they all wanted to marry him, all 50. So he accepted them all. Wasn't his original idea, but they were quarreling and everything, so to stop the quarreling, he accepted. So then, anyway, that's the story. The Ashwini Kumaras, in this case, they gave that body, and in another case, they also, as I was speaking the other story, they gave him another youthful body, and they appeared before the daughter of a king, Sukanya, and that's another story. So the Ashwini Kumaras, they had these kinds of powers to make one youthful or to change the bodies. There's even a particular method described in the Vedas. If you combine different herbs And those herbs, when properly applied and with mantras, they can bring back even a dead body to life. This particular science was known to Shukracharya, who was the spiritual master of the demons. And when the demons would be fighting with the demigods and they would be killed, he would dip them in this vat of herbs and their life would come back again. Now these sciences are not known on this planet. They try their best with different medicines and different things, but obviously in the heavenly planets, as you would expect, there would be far more advanced medical science than we have now on our planet. Because the soul is the actual person. The person is not the body. It's like if we say, my head, my arms. Well, who's the my? Who's the person that owns the arms and the head and the legs? It's the soul. It's the self. So different parts of the body can be changed and the soul can still live in that body. And that's how we explain how a soul can live in the body of a horse. A soul can live in the body of a tree. This is generally not known to anyone except the Vaishnavas, practically. Maybe a few others who are familiar with Vedic knowledge, but generally speaking, the science of life or consciousness is completely unknown. They don't know what makes something alive and what makes it not alive. Therefore, they speculate that it's caused by chemical reactions. And if you mix together the chemicals properly, then there'll be life. And when the chemicals are... But if that were true, then you could if the chemical was only missing, you could inject the chemical again. If it was just chemicals, which is their theory. And another problem with that theory is it's never been proven. There's no example of taking chemicals and having those chemicals come alive. Always what's required is the substance from a living thing. Either the egg or the seed. There's different methods of, there's seed and there's eggs and there's embryos and there's perspiration. These are sources of birth. So, either that, or as they take from trees, they take some part, or from a potato, you take the eye of the potato, you can plant that and it will grow, different parts will grow. But it has to come from something living, a body of living, not from inert matter. That's the unique part of how reproduction takes place in the material world. In the spiritual world, there's no such thing. There's no reproduction because everyone's living eternally there. But in the material world, the soul gets covered by different types of bodies according to his desires. We learn that there are some occasions where there, in the Mahabharata, their description is given, there were a Brahmin couple, husband and wife, and they wanted to have union, but they didn't want to do it as humans. Just for privacy, different things. Didn't want to make any disturbances. So they turned themselves into deer. and they copulated. And it so happened that Pandu Maharaj, the father of the Pandavas, he happened to shoot while they were in the act. And because of that, he got cursed, and that's another story. But sometimes it happens that great personalities, for some particular reason, they prefer to take the body of some animal for either enjoyment or for some other reason. Also, the wife of Surya, the sun god, she took the body of a horse for some time. And actually, he also took the body of a horse, and they copulated and had some very famous children. Very great children came from that. So there are occasions when this type of thing is done. Another point that Prabhupada makes in a different pastime, which is similar, Daksha was beheaded by one of the followers of Lord Shiva. And because Daksha had made an offense to Lord Shiva, so he was beheaded. And after that, after the whole cursing and counter-cursing was over, the demigods went and apologized to Lord Shiva for the offense they had made. And Lord Shiva, being very kind and merciful, he agreed to restore the lives of many of those who were killed. And Daksha, who had lost his head, was given the benediction that the head of the sacrificial goat could be replaced on his torso. And it was replaced, and he came to consciousness and spoke beautiful prayers to Lord Shiva in the head of a goat. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport points out that the intelligence, this proves that the intelligence is not actually in the brain, because certainly the goat doesn't have sufficient brain to recite beautiful poetry in Sanskrit. But the intelligence is there in the soul. So even though the brain matter was completely different, still the goat head was able to be used to recite this wonderful poetry. So it's the soul that has form. The soul has intelligence, the soul has mind, the soul has body. And because of that, we're able to use this material body. We're able to use the intelligence in this body. If the soul didn't have any intelligence, then how could you use dead matter for understanding things? Doesn't even a computer, we may say, well, computers are dead matter, they understand so many things, but actually they're programmed. That's simply a memorization system programmed by a living being who has intelligence. So another point here is we see that Indra was concerned with status. He didn't want the Ashwini Kumaras to be given spiritual science because they were only physicians. Well, this is materialistic, mundane prejudice, and no one should be barred from getting spiritual knowledge. Mami Parta Vyapashitya Yepi Shupapayonaya Striovai Shastatashu Duras Tepi Janti Paramgatim. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that everyone, whether he be Mam hiparta vyapashitya yepi shu papayone. From lower birth, women, shudras, vaishyas, etc. They can all approach the supreme destination. So that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that it is transcendental to bodily considerations. There are even examples of animals becoming self-realized. Here we're learning about animal heads, but the whole body, there are examples of animals, because it's the same soul inside an animal body as is in the human body. It's not that there are animal souls, human souls, plant souls. There's one soul, it's called the jiva. Or in the liberated state, it's called Brahma-bhuta, so jiva-bhuta. And just like there's one human driver, but that human driver can drive thousands of different types of vehicles. He can drive motorcycle, bicycle, automobile, truck, submarine, airplane, boat, all these different things. He's the same driver, but he gets in different vehicles. So the same souls, and how can he do that? Because some of the creatures, just like those little germs, how big are they? Some of them are microscopic. You can't even see them. So how could a soul fit inside there? Keshagra shatabhagasya shatada kalpitasya cha. The size, the dimension of the soul is given in the Vedas. It's 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. That's the tip, means the very smallest tip. So therefore, the soul is so small, he can get inside that germ body and activate the germ. Have you looked under a microscope sometime and you see these little germs? When you actually zoom in on them, you find that they look like an ant. They have the same bodily structure. They're doing the same little things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, just on a mini world, in their little world. And that same soul, that small soul, he's the same soul that gets inside of the elephant and controls the whole elephant. So this explains everything that's going on in the world. Therefore, it's very important to understand this. Otherwise, you'll never understand biology or anthropology or any of these sciences. How will you understand what makes life work if you don't understand the soul? You'll simply be guessing and speculating. Perhaps, maybe in the future, we'll be able to prove it. They're saying, in the past, life came from matter. And in the future, life will come from matter, and we'll prove it. But for now, we can't. All life is coming from life, and we have never proved it in the past. This is science, as it's being taught today. No proof. Presently, all life comes from life. In the past, all life comes from life. But they're promising, in the future, we'll prove that life comes from matter. Prabhupada called this a post-dated check. America's very good at giving post-dated checks, I think. So, when we study the Vedas, we get all knowledge. We get biology, we get physics, we get cosmology, we get anthropology, we get philosophy, we get religion, we get everything is there in the Vedas. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He said, study this, the Vedas, from every angle of vision, you'll see it's perfect. And then, after you've understood this, you should explain this to the college students. Explain to them. Answer all their questions, give them profuse prasadam, chant and dance nicely, and invite them to join us for the perfection of their lives. That's Srila Prabhupada. So we've got this is the real knowledge. We don't need to go to college or university to get knowledge. This is real knowledge. That is what Prabhupada, what they're teaching there is just some art or craft, that's all. Real knowledge means to understand the soul. Real knowledge means to understand how to get out of the cycle of birth and death. You may say, well, he's got his degree, yes, but when he dies, what if he becomes a frog in his next life? What good was all of his knowledge? Whereas, if he understands janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvata, chakva deham punar jama naiti maameti sorjana, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon giving up this body, take birth again in this material world. Maameti, he comes to me. Well, who's more intelligent? Who utilized their time more wisely in study? So life is very short. We don't know even when our lives will be finished. Therefore, we should study the Vedas and understand Krishna and his transcendental name and activities. And, of course, we should just be kind to others by distributing transcendental literature from Srila Prabhupada to all the people. I think you know about that here. So if there are any questions...
Can you hear me? You said that in the heavenly planets that there is no birth because the souls there live eternally. But if that's the case, then how do we get home back to Godhead?
Yeah. Yeah. Vaikuntha airplane. Yes? Vaikuntha? The Narayana Dutas, the Vishnu Dutas, they come and they take. That's how Dhruva went and different. Okay, there was another question back there.
Okay. There is statement that soul is in every atom.
Soul what?
Soul is in every atom. Soul is in every atom. And also material energy is, by the point of view of pure devotee, is spiritual, completely spiritual. It's not his material. So some scientists can ask you, is it possible to, and also you mentioned how different, okay, we have, for example, how it's called, peacemaker, you know this,
Pacemaker.
Pacemaker, okay. Is it possible to replace actually all part of human body by material elements, machines, make some kind of machine we call cybernetic, is it? Something like that. And to basically, you know, put soul can get completely metallic body made from computers.
Metallic
or something
body,
like
robot
that.
Body.
Yeah, robot. Is it really possible, or that's my question?
Well, there's 8,400,000 species of life. So it has to be one of those. You can't make up a new species. That's Brahma's work. Brahma created those different species at the beginning of the universe under the order of the Lord. You're not Brahma, you can't create a new one. Any other? Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.